8:17 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop, and we welcome in Coach Dave McGinnis. But first, we're going to take a couple of calls here. Joe on line one, you're on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, we're doing great, man.
Good. Love the show. Real quickly, huge sports fan. Obviously, love the North America major sports more so than horse racing, but grew up around horse racing. And horse racing is the one sport that clearly is based upon gambling. If there's no gambling, there's no sport.
You're right.
That's a fact, okay? Number right. two is, great article today in USA Today by their horse track writer who discusses the whole thing, and he thinks it's the wrong call to begin with.
Really?
Well, that was Dan Walken. He was their lead columnist. I don't know if he's their horse
racer. Why? What was his reasoning, though, there?
Well, he just said if it happened on a Thursday at a regular track, and it's, you know, we're, who goes? Gamblers or whatever. This doesn't happen. It doesn't get called down. It doesn't get taken down. Oh. When we talk about people hitting long shots and it looks big, it's like kind of saying somebody hit the lottery and they got this. Let me tell you something. The casinos all over the world, that's the difference between the Saints call and this, because people all over the world were watching and betting all over the world. They don't necessarily do that on an NFL game all over to this amount. And so the payouts on the long shot are not nearly as much as the house is cleaned up when you consider all the exotics tied to the horse that was taken down.
Well, but that's not true, because the consensus from the sports books was that that this turned from a big win with Maximum Security winning to a big loss with Country House. Yeah,
how so much?
It was. I told you it was at least a $9 million swing just within the horse racing facilities. Oh. All right, let's go to Paul on line two. You're on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning.
Oh. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Paul.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I do think that was a botched call in the race, because what it should depend on is, was that horse the fastest horse out there on the track? And he was. Also, it's, you can't blame it on the horse. It's got to be the rider. When they look back at it, the rider is clearly trying to get his horse back in his lane. And if you look when the horse
slipping in the mud. Out,
excuse me?
It was slipping in the mud.
I understand that in the mud. Yeah, and he's 3 years old. Did you see his ears? Like, if you look back at a replay, look at his ears. He's three. He's never been in front of all these people before. When he made that turn and that crowd went crazy, he jumped.
Yeah. You're right. It doesn't matter.
I told you.
It doesn't matter if he jumped.
He got, that horse got scared.
But he impeded the progress of two horses.
What if the jockey got scared, too?
Well.
That's what he trains for. Mm.
Just about every expert I've heard thinks it was the right call. All right, Coach Mack.
I have no idea, but it seems like it was the right call, because I'm afraid that a lot of horses may have fallen. Yeah, that was, the jockeys.
That could have been.
People and horses could be no longer.
That could have been. That was a near tragedy.
Ooh, how fast are those horses going, Mark? Right, that straightaway there. How fast? 1,300-pound horse. How fast do you think it was going? And if it ran over another jockey?
I don't know, but it wouldn't have been good. It's not so much speed. It's the 1,300 pounds.
Right, yeah.
Whoa. That would have been it.
Whoa.
You can't survive that. You've been around a few horses, Coach Mac.
Y'all ever been to that thing?
No, I've never been.
We need to go.
My friends keep trying to get me to go.
No, you need to go one time.
Joey Kent was trying to get me to go again. I was like, no. But first of all, I was like, man, I don't have a nice suit I want to wear out there in the heat.
No,
so you know, wearing shorts and t-shirt.
I've been three times, and I've been in the infield. I've done it. That is an event.
It is.
That is the only thing I can compare it to. Non-football wise is, and I know you've been to the Indy 500.
Because, multiple times.
Now the Indy is another event, and just so the mass of people there, and plus it's just fun with the environment, being around there. And I've been three times. Two out of the three times I've been, it rained. Nobody cared. It's something. Now this last thing that just happened, I know you guys have been on this some this morning. I mean, that immediately, what did everybody think about?
The Saints.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, and of course, this, you know, this day and age in sports, now with instant replay and everything slowed down to the millisecond and everybody looking at it, I mean, but, and Mark was talking about all the money that exchanged hands and went back and forth, and I mean, they'll be talking about this for a long time.
Yeah, a lot of his friends lost some dough.
Yeah, really. Coach McGinnis, by the way, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They got you covered. All right, Coach. The Titans decide not to pick up the option on Jack Conklin. You did not seem surprised by that, but what are your thoughts on the move?
No, well, I'm not. I mean, it, you know, $12.86 million. I mean, that's it makes sense, and it makes sense for, you know, for both parties because, you know, he's coming off of an injury. And I have already said what I thought about, you know, about his injury. He came back and was able to play, but he was not able to play up to his standards and up to what he's been able to do. He's still got a chance to earn a lengthy contract with the Titans. You just got to play. I mean, and you know, I've got a professional athlete sitting right here across from me. I did it for 34 years in this league, and every day is an interview. You've got to earn your spots. You earn your spots and you earn your money. And just because procedurally they don't pick up that option doesn't mean he still doesn't have a prominent place on this team.
One of the things, though, that we talked about is that the job description for right tackle has changed over the last few years, where you're facing, it seems like, a lot more top-end pass rushers. Conklin seems like the classic right tackle, road grader, good run blocker, maybe not as good a pass blocker. How legit is that?
Well, I, you know, the job description really hasn't changed. The issue that is now is all of the people.
What kind of offense you're running?
Yeah. Well, and the things that you're doing now defensively, you know, you've had to change a lot just because of the way offenses have changed, because the game has expanded horizontally, offensively. You can't touch people. People are doing so much more, and Dean Pease is a prime example of it, of what he's doing with his secondary to generate quick pressure and to be able to confuse blocking schemes. So because of that, you're seeing a lot of quote, elite pass rushers lining up a lot of different places along the line of scrimmage. Not only over there where they normally used to come from the left offensive tackle, you are seeing now, I mean, you know, Jim Washburn did it when I was here with him. People are doing it, lining up some on third and pass or second and pass or personnel group in pass, lining up some of your better rush group inside, you know, inside and then on the other side. So it has changed that because the game has evolved. That's the reason it is, I think, is what you're saying, because when you lined up in two backs, you know, way back, you know, in the Stone Age days, when you lined up in two backs back there and just hammered it, most of the time that right side of your offensive line was your power side, so to speak. And the other side, you know, was the side where they put most of the the quote skill athletes to rush. That's changed now. They're everywhere now.
Why wouldn't coordinators before, if you're always talking about getting a matchup advantage, try the right side of an offensive line more with your best pass rusher?
Well, look. When I first got into this league, there was no free agency, so when I was with the Bears, we had a big advantage because we could put Richard Dent on one side and Otis Wilson on the other. And guess what? Choose your poison. All right. Because it, you know, it's changed because of free agency and the salary cap. Most people only have one real elite guy. If you're blessed enough to have two of them, then clearly you're going to put them everywhere. And that's why they started to move them around a lot.
Well, Coach, I know before we go to break, I guess we'll go to break. I wanted to ask you what you thought about which draft pick do you think will have the most impact in the first season?
Fair question.
Early on, because, you know, sometimes guys have immediate impact and then they kind of stay the same as time goes on.
Right.
Naturally, the first round pick is injured and we don't know how soon he'll be out there.
Well, right. We'll get that answer on the other side. 8:27 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. On the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop. Kevin off today. Jonathan Schaefer. And, of course, right now we have Coach Dave McGinnis in, Titans radio analyst. Always three segments of fun. Coach Blaine asked you the question. Blaine, why don't you re-ask the question?
Well, I was asking him, you know, out of the draft picks, who do you think, you know, have the most impact? And we all know the first round pick, we don't know when he'll play. He still could be the most impactful player once he gets on the field, maybe if he just plays a month and a half or whatever it is. Maybe six, well, that's half a season, maybe six games. Close to it. Who do you think will surprise and contribute more than expected? It could be a mid-round guy. It could be a late-round guy. And then he just kind of levels out and just become that guy over the whole length of his career.
You know what? Clearly, it's purely conjecture. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you don't know. But when you look at it, you know, I would think that A.J. Brown, ooh, is they're going to be able to incorporate him, you know, fairly quickly into some of the things they do. And again, as I said, it's purely conjecture, because here's the thing that's going to happen. And we were talking about the rules now as the way they're incorporated with these phase one, phase two, phase three.
Yeah, break all that down for us.
The first thing that these rookies are going to have to do is once they get in here, and I'm sure they'll have the rookies by themselves for a while. It's what we did, you know, my last 5 or 6 years in the league. Mm-hmm. It's what we did is because these rookies, first of all, they are not in shape to do. I mean, you've got full grown men that have been working out here, you know, on their own, knowing what NFL rigors are. And then in phase one already, they're in shape. I mean, they're in football shape. Well, they're in football shape, and they have an idea of what's going on. You bring these rookies in, they've been going through the draft process, they've been training for the draft, and wherever they've been training, and for our listeners, and I mean, you know this, until you're out there working on football drills you're just not in football condition. And plus,
they're not the same up there doing these drills as at the combine. No, totally different.
Totally different. And plus, you know, a first year player coming in, I mean, they know nothing about the schemes or what's going on. They don't know anything about, you know, so you don't throw them into the mix early on. You let them work by themselves. You let them get ingrained and get incorporated first and get them initiated into what's going on. But I think the question was who I think will have the bigger impact. You've got to find out, first of all, once you get rookies in, it's not so much physically what they can do, it's how fast can they acquire the mentality and also the mental ability, mm-hmm, to process what they're doing so that they can play fast, they can play up to what their athletic ability is, they can play up to that ability that got them drafted in the first place. That's the first thing that you have to do. So, you know, you just physically look at guys and you say, well, you know, maybe this guy, maybe that guy, but there may be some guys that you don't know how they're going to adapt. There may be some guys taken, you know, later on in the draft that get it so quick that all of a sudden you look and you say, okay, you know, this guy. And that, to me, you know, when I was coaching, was one of the biggest things that we always look for. Which one of these guys can grasp it mentally. Because, mm-hmm, if they grasp it mentally quicker, they can play faster.
Yeah, remember, that's what I told you, Mark. But all I want to do is say, if I get cut, I know my plays and I could play fast, and if whatever happened.
Well, and that's the, mm-hmm, truth. So it really, once they get in here, then they're all on it. Here, all these rookies right now are on equal footing because none of them know anything. Okay. Now, who can incorporate, because you know they've all got athletic ability, they've all got football skill ability, because that's why you drafted them. That's why they're here. But to find out who can help you the quickest in serious game situations, it's who can acquire the mentality of it, and not only the mentality of knowing what they're doing, but the mentality of knowing how to prepare and get ready to do it. Because what you really want, and this is for our listeners and all the fans, and we've got great fans here and very, very intelligent listeners here to this program, is you've got to have guys that can make it from Monday to Sunday.
Mm.
From Monday to Sunday, those guys that figure it out really quick as they come in, and those rookies that attach themselves to vets that know what to do, and that's one of the biggest things that when I would stand up in front, you know, my last few years of coaching, you know, I could stand up in front of all the rookie groups we brought in, and I always did, you know, in an introduction period, you know, and I would say, look, I've been coaching in this league and doing this longer than any of you've been alive. So here's what I want to tell you. And one of the first things you need to learn and to understand is subjugate your ego and look at the vets on this team, how they do things, And the worst thing you can ever do is not ask. And so they can help you figure it out a lot quicker than anybody else can. The veterans in that locker room. And if you understand that and rookies learn how to become a pro, because being a professional, as we all know, is much more than just getting paid. And that's what I would tell them. Just because you're getting a paycheck now doesn't make you a professional. A professional is the way you live your life, and the professional is what you do on, off the field, for your body, with, and this is your craft now. And the quicker you're honing your craft and learn how to do it right, the quicker you're going to have a chance to continue this job.
Rookies, by the way, for the Titans come in Friday. The rookie minicamp is Friday through Sunday.
Okay.
How different is it, for the undrafted free agents, than it is for the draft picks? And how different is it for the guys coming in for a tryout as opposed to the undrafted free agents?
You got three definite levels there. I mean, you really do. Wow. You've got three definite levels, and it's a real question, and it's a real situation. Yeah. You know, because your tryout guys are guys that you're bringing in to see if they have a chance to be, because you don't know. You might have somebody, and you're giving guys tryouts because you think there's a glimmer of something that they might be able to do.
What are you looking for? Because there's only so much they can do.
You're looking for traits. Now, the rookies can do anything, because they're not, they can be there as long as you want them. That's why you have them there, you know, by yourself in the meetings and those types of things. And it goes back to what I'm talking about. First of all, you're finding out, yes, who can learn? You know, who can learn this stuff? You know, who can learn? Because first of all, I mean, their talents got them in the door. Their talents got them in the door. But then their overall approach and their mentality early on is going to keep them in the building. And that's what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for first. Now, if a guy, you know, shows up at traits, and the other thing that you do with these rookies, you don't come in and have them go full blast right from the start physically on the field. You just don't do that. I mean, you don't.
How hard is that, though? I mean, you could say it, but how hard is it to get the players to act, these young rookie, you know, guys who are all pumped up? I'm in the league. I'm going to show them I belong, and I'm going to stay. How hard is that as a coach to say, hey, we're not going full gold. There's no full pads on here. I mean, take us through that process.
Yeah,
I was one of those ding dongs that was out there running around full speed, hitting people with no pads on.
Because
I was trying to prove something.
Because
I was.
Well, that's 100% true, and it happens.
Jeff was like, no, stop that.
That's why you have the rookies by themselves, so they don't feel that immense peer pressure to begin with, you know, from the vets. And it's not because the vets are doing anything detrimental. It's just the pressure of all of a sudden.
They got to practice.
Yeah, and they got to learn how to practice. They've got to learn how to do a lot of things. And that's something that you've got to tell them, look, we are going to work you gradually into this thing. And we expect you at some point to be able to come up to the level so you can compete physically on the grass with these guys. But to get there, you've got to understand this. And the other thing that I think jolts them back to reality, which I would always tell them, is you go out and you do something early as to where you injure yourself, you get a soft tissue injury, you pull something, and you're not out on the field, guess what your chances are?
Ooh.
Especially if you are a free agent or if you are a guy on a tryout. Mm-hmm. So look, we are trying to tell you this is the process that we have. This is what we're going to do. We are trying to do everything to maximize your chances to be able to compete for a spot on this football team in a training camp, but you have to allow us to help you get there and know that we know what we're doing, and so listen to us. Mm. And so unless you, as you said, as a self-proclaimed knucklehead,
yeah,
you know,
I was. Initially. No doubt.
And it happens every year. It happens every year. But if they'll listen, because no coaching staff in this league is trying to bring somebody in and not give them a chance.
Man. Since we're talking about the free agents, I wanted to ask a quick question. I know it's conjecture, but we got a lot of free agents. I know we got a break here real quick, but we have Barnes, and maybe you can give us the answer when we come back. At running back from Kansas State, Bledsoe, Oklahoma, off D tackle, Cheevers from Boston College, cornerback, Hall, offensive tackle from Stanford, Mississippi State, Hoyer, I guess D tackle, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, and Ratliff Williams, two double last names, wide receiver, UNC, and Roberson from Sam Houston State. Talk about which one of those guys you think is actually going to make the roster and contribute in some form or fashion.
Well,
when we come back.
We'll talk about it when we come back.
All right. 8:41 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5. 8:41 6:47 on the Wake Up Zone at 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, Kevin Off today. Our producer, Jonathan Schaefer, of course. We're with Coach Dave McGinnis, who, by the way, is brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They got you covered. Blaine?
Yes, we talked about some of the undrafted free agent guys, and I went through the list real quick. You can probably name a couple of those guys that you maybe have saw in film and think could have a shot at least making the roster or practice squad.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, as we talked about in the earlier segment, that's up to those kids. But at least they're in the door. The running back from Kansas State, I watched him when I was watching Reisner. This is a physical back, same foot, same shoulder guy, as I like to describe him. That's to where he'll drop a pad on you. He can. I mean, I've seen him make guys miss in the open field. You know, and K-State did a nice job. I was watching Reisner, you know, their offensive lineman. They did a nice job of having a lot of block yardage. But this is a physical runner, and I'm sure that's what caught, you know, the scout's eye up there. He's a thicker back. It's going to be interesting to see what he can do. Now, any back that comes in like this, guys, and you guys know this, our listeners know this, our fans know this, if you're the third or fourth back on a roster, now we're projecting way ahead, but you got to be a team's player. I mean, you've got to be a core team's player. I don't know what this kid's background is on teams, but the physical nature of him, I think would lend itself to that. So anyway, you know, you're talking about that. The Cheevers kid, I watched him because they had Rocky Sin, you know, from BC. You know, I watched him. He's a smaller defensive back. He's got good quick feet. He's a real feisty, a DB. So it's going to be interesting to see. Anytime you bring these guys in, there's a reason, you know, that you bring them in. Either an area scout or somebody's got some local knowledge on them that they have some trait that you like and want to bring in. I did see him on film. He did show up some, you know, on film. As I say, he's a smaller DB, but he's got some nasty to him, and he's a guy that was around the ball, you know, quite a bit. The Roberson kid from Sam Houston State. Mm-hmm. This kid was a really highly recruited kid coming out of Texas. Went to the University of Texas, got injured, then transferred to Sam Houston. Really dominated what went on there at Sam Houston State. He's got a quick get off. He's got something that you can't coach. We talk about traits that you're always looking for. He's got length. He's got length. He's got speed. He's got get off. He's extremely raw. This, to me, this kind of a guy is perfect to bring in. You get these guys. You accumulate these kind of guys, and you bring them in, and you draft. You not draft them, but you bring them in, and you acquire them to your coaching staff. Because you bring them in to be developed, but he's got traits. He's got length. He's got get off that can be developed.
Is he more D tackle or DN? Because I watched some highlights of him.
They played him
guard.
They played him everywhere.
I saw a lot, and he was just running right by those guys.
Well, and that goes back to what we said a couple of segments ago about putting a guy that could dominate everywhere, because he did. And everywhere you put him, I mean, I did see him over the guard, and he would swim him, and, you know, the guy that was blocking him looked like a highway cone. You know, he had no chance to touch him. And so, you know, this guy's got some traits, you know, that you can develop. You know, as you watch him and kept watching him, and as you well at that level, you've got to dominate. You know, if you're going to be at a lower level, you've got to be able to dominate to stick out. And he did that. It's an interesting prospect.
Oh, you think he has a shot of making a roster then?
I didn't say that. I say it's an interesting prospect. I got no idea who will make this roster.
Give us a prediction. He looks like he's pretty good, man.
Last year, the Titans had Robert Spillane, who came in on a tryout. We were joking.
Yeah.
Tryout guys leave their cars running in the parking lot, pretty much. But
I love that guy.
But he made it all the way through the process and got into a couple of games. How big a long shot is it? How many guys have you heard that have come in on a tryout and end up making the roster?
I mean, I've had it my whole career. And you respect those guys to begin with.
Yeah.
You respect them immensely. I had a guy named Ronald McKinnon from North Alabama. That was a linebacker that couldn't see over this table, but they won about 44 games when he was there. National champions, you know, he won that Harlan Hill Trophy for the best player in that division. I signed him for $1,000. Poured his name out of a shoebox at the end of the draft because we were, you know, we took all the names off the board. And I poured his name out of the shoe. I said, look, we need more linebackers. Does anybody have anybody out there that can do it? Jim Carmody, who used to be the head coach of Southern Miss was our Southeast Conference regional scout. And he said, Coach Mack, I know because of all the years with Singletary, people are going to tell you that this every short linebacker that they have, you know, can play in this league. Watch this kid on tape. So I went and put on the tape. It was one of those continuous run tapes where you watch the band at halftime and you watch, you know, you watch everything roll through. And I watched him. He was making plays all over the field. I called him the day after the draft. Do you have anywhere to go? You know, Ron, this is Coach Dave McGinnis, the Arizona Cardinals. Do you have anywhere to go? Have you signed with anybody? No, sir. I said, would you like to come to the Cardinals? Yes, sir. I said, I've got $1,000. He said, yes, sir. And I said, okay, we need you here Thursday. Coach, I've got a banquet I have to go to. And I was going, all right, now this kid, I'm already offered him a chance. He's got nowhere else to go, and he's got a banquet. I said, what is it? Then he told me he's going to pick up the Harley. I said, go do that.
Yeah. You know, you're about to throw everybody in the bus.
Yeah, I said, go. Exactly. I said, yeah, go ahead and go do that. That's a good thing. That kid came in there, and he impressed. Not only he didn't have to impress me to begin with. He had to impress Seth Joyner, Eric Hill, Jameer Miller, Eric Swan, all those defensive guys, he impressed them with his work ethic, with his work habits. He ended up having a 12-year career in the National Football
League. That's awesome.
Yeah, just look him up. Ron McKinnon from North Alabama. And that, to me, that is one of those stories as to one of those guys that, as I said, and I told him 100 times, you know, I'm so proud of you. You came in here driving a Pinto and you left driving a BMW. And because, you know, he came in for $1,000 and was one of those guys that I literally shook his name out of a shoebox and spread it out on a table. And so they can come from anywhere. The thing that they have to be able to do is, it goes back to what I say. Once they get in the building, then it's up to them to figure it out. And he figured it out.
Got about a minute here, but I wanted to ask you real quick, how does, and not just for Vrabel, but for all coaches, with the change in the replay rule, how does that change how you manage the game and manage your challenges?
Well, managing challenges is something that, especially for first-year head coaches, that you really don't know it until you get into it, and you really can't practice it because it's in the moment, it's in the instant. The other thing that... To that point, Mark, you need somebody in the box that you really trust, because the view up there is so much better. Plus, they got the television monitors up there. The view up there is so much better. Now, sometimes, you know, if you're down there and it happens right in front of you and you feel it, or at certain times in the game, there are times when you know that you can use a challenge. There might be sometimes strategically when you use a challenge, you may not know you're going to win it, but you might strategically at that point want to do it. But the thing that I like that they did about, you know, as far as, and Vrabel said it very well at the owners' meetings, you know, he's not looking to officiate the game. No head coach in this league wants to officiate the game. And so they still kept it at two challenges, even though they changed the things that you can challenge. I think that was a big plus, because you still got to be very judicious with the way you use your challenges.
Coach, again, the time flies by.
Well, we had horse racing. We had, you know, just anything else. But I love coming in here in the morning with you guys. Thanks, guys.
All right, great. We'll see you next week.